Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on our new identity that we have in Jesus Christ. Here again, God's word on it. Take a look at our banners. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When God placed you into Jesus Christ by baptism through faith in Jesus' Son and the gospel, we no longer are what we once were. We are a new creation. That's a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. And with that, God has given you a new identity in Christ because we're now united with him. So last week, we looked at our new identity as how God has made us soldiers through Jesus Christ to fight the good fight of the faith. And today, I'd like to look with you at another aspect of our new identity in Christ, namely that God has made us royal priests before him. Is that how you see yourself when you look in the mirror? Got up this morning, brushed your teeth, you saw a royal priest looking back at you? You might have said, I'm a nobody and a nothing. I don't see myself as royal or as a priest. And that's why I want to talk with you about this today, because God has declared it of you in the Holy Scriptures. It is your new identity. And so we want to understand what it means to be royal, what it means to be a priest, and what it means to be a royal priest together. So let's do that. First thing we need to ask the question is this. Is this really true? This pastor just pulling this out of a hat. Where did he get this idea? Is this really the truth that you're royal priests? Well, let's take a look. We're going to open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. And here Peter says this, verse 4. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Peter the apostle here is saying that you are to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices to God acceptable through Christ. There's your identity. There's your job. We go on. He says, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And he who believes in him will not be put to shame. That's Jesus Christ. Anybody who believes in him will be saved. To you, therefore, who believe, he's precious. But for those who do not believe, quote, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall, for they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. That's the identity, if you will, of the unbelievers. But now we get to the identity of believers. But you are, notice those words, you are indicates identity. This is who you are. Peter says, by the Holy Spirit, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does that word say? You are. Say it. You are a chosen priest, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. All right. Waking you up this morning. Royal priests. God says you are. When you look in the mirror, do you see yourself as royal or as a priest? God, the Holy Spirit, and St. Peter declare, this you are. This is your identity, and this is your mission. So then let's take a look now. What does it mean to be royal? What's it mean to be a priest? And then we'll put them together, a royal priest. Let's talk about royalty first. You think of yourselves as royal? You know, the only person who looks in the mirror pretty much in the morning and says, I'm royal, I'm a king, is a royal pain in the neck, usually, right? But sometimes, someone might look in the mirror and say, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, I'm a royal failure. But if you've come to Christ, if you've believed in him as your Lord and Savior, you're a new creature, a new creation, and you can say, I am indeed royal. Why? Because you're somebody? Well, when you said you're a nobody and a nothing, in a sense, you're right. You're right, because your identity, apart from Christ, is found in the next verse in Peter, right after that one we read. Once you were no people. Once you had, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God took you when you were a no people, a nobody, a nothing. What was your identity before Christ? Your identity was that of a prisoner of darkness, a captive of sin, a naked beggar, a witting or unwitting servant of the devil, one who is cast off and estranged from the Lord, separated from Christ and his kingdom, dead in your trespasses and sins, with no royal blood in you. And you had no high position from God. Indeed, you were the lowest of the low. That was your identity. But I want to declare to you today, when God came into your life, when you believed in Jesus, when Jesus came into you by grace, the King sought you by his grace. He chose you. He's given you faith in his Son. He's baptized you. And he's taken you from being a nobody and a nothing to make you into a somebody in Jesus Christ because of your connection with him. And it's God's pleasure and delight to do this for you. Listen again to these words from the Holy Spirit. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, and with a purpose, not just to be that, but so that, with the result that you might declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, do you think of yourself as royal? Do you look in the mirror and say, I am royal? Well, let's ask a question. When you're a royal priest, does that just mean you're a priest who serves the royal king, which is true? Or does it also mean that you yourselves are now royal? Well, let's take a look at that. Let me give you a quiz, okay? You ready for a quiz? You getting nervous? Here's your quiz. Question number one. What's a king wear on his head? Oh, you're so good. A crown. Does God give us crowns is the question. James chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Good, which God has promised to those who love him. Paul said, I've fought the good fight of the faith. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 3, see that no one seizes your crown. So, kings wear crowns. God has promised you a crown in the kingdom to come. Are you royalty? Yes, you are, though the crown you have not yet on your head, yet it is yours and you're destined for it. Next question on your quiz. You've got 100% so far. Where do kings sit? Thrones. All right. What does God say of you? Revelation 3. Jesus says, he who conquers, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. And we read in the gospel lesson, Jesus says to the disciples and to those who follow him, you will sit with me on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so we have thrones, we have crowns. What do kings have the power to do? That's your next question. I'll help you with this one. To judge. A king sits in judgment. And what do we read in 1 Corinthians 6? Paul says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world's to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more matters pertaining to this life? Did you know that? Did you know that you're going to judge the world? It says so. Did you know that you're going to judge angels, the demons? You're going to pass judgment upon them? You will, because God's prepared for you a throne. He's given you the authority to rule, to judge with him. And what do kings do? Next question. They rule, right? They reign. And what does God say of us? Revelation 22, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So God has promised that you're going to have a crown set on his throne, judge, rule with him forever. And how about splendor and majesty? David says that's even now bestowed upon him. Psalm 21 says, thou dost set a crown of fine gold upon his head. His glory is great through thy help. Splendor and majesty thou dost bestow upon him. Now you might look in the mirror and say, I'm a piece of junk. I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. But you need to understand your identity in Jesus Christ is that splendor of majesty has been bestowed upon you, though you do not now yet perceive it. God has said so. Who enters the king's palace freely? Answer, the king's sons, right? Let's try a little experiment, if you will, after we go to after the service. Let's all go up and see President Obama. Sure, some of you would really like to see him. Up in the White House. How far could we get to see him? We could get all the way to Washington. We could get to see the White House, but we'd be stopped at the bars of the gate there. There's no possible way we'll get into the Oval Office unless you are the president's own daughters, right? What is it, Sasha and Malia, right? Notice all the women answered that question. Not a man's voice was heard. But the president's daughters can get in to see him anytime they want. Stroll right into the Oval Office. In the same way, who has access to the King of Heaven, to God's own throne room, up in the heavenlies? Paul says in Ephesians 2, for through him, through Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers, you're no longer sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If we're God's children through adoption as Christ, then guess what? That means you are members of the royal family. So you ought to look at yourself in the mirror and realize that you are, indeed, by God's decree, royal. And besides, Scripture just tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians 4, already you're filled, already you're rich. Without us, you've become kings. And would that you did reign, that we might share the rule with you. And Jesus, it says of him, he has made us a king. This is Revelation 5, he's made us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father, and they shall reign on earth. And so, are you kings? Indeed, God has destined you to be so, though some parts of that are still awaiting you in heaven. You are even now his royal children, and you ought to see yourself like that. But what does that mean then? How is that going to change your life? You have dignity and majesty, but how is it going to change your life? What kind of a king are you supposed to be? What is a king of heaven like? A king of heaven is seen in Jesus Christ, who bent down and got low to be with us, who washed the feet of the disciples, who came for love of his kingdom to save his country, to save his people, to fight against the devil and to destroy him, to set us free, to even give up his life that we might live. That's our example of what it is to be a king. And Jesus explains this. It's not for vainglory. It's not for pride that you're royal, but to serve. It says in Luke chapter 22, a dispute also arose amongst the disciples, which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but not so among you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, thank you, and the leader as one who serves. For which is the greater, says Jesus, the one who sits at table or the one who serves? Yet, it's the one who sits at table, but he says, but I am among you as one who serves. That's what it is to be a king and to be royal. It's to serve. And that's where our new name comes in. You're not only royal, but you're royal priests. You're a royal priesthood. Here's the second part of your name. It describes what kind of a king you are. A king who serves God, who serves other people, who's wholly devoted to him. Let's consider, do you think of yourself as a priest? I know probably what you're thinking. I like this about being royal. Yeah, that's cool. I'm royal. I'm a king with God, and you are. But the purpose is to be a humble king, and the purpose is for you to be a priest. And you say, now God, now Pastor Greg, you're really wrecking it. I like this whole thing about being a king, but come on, a priest? Well, I think the problem with that is a lot of us have the wrong idea of what it means to be a priest. I had the wrong idea of being a pastor. What do you think of when you think of a priest? What are some of the things? I want to hear. Just give me one at least. Collar. Exactly. That's one of the ones I had here. That you wear black clothes. That you wear a clerical collar. that you're an academic, that you live in a Gothic cathedral, that you sing dead liturgies to a Gregorian chant, ipso facto habeas corpus e pluribus unum, that kind of thing. Of course, they don't really say those words, but that you're detached from the world, that you're somehow otherworldly, that you don't know what it means to be really human and to mix and be with people in this life, and you're not earthly. And these are all ideas of what it is to be a pastor or a priest, that is. And I had that really wrestling in becoming a pastor because I thought a lot of the images that I get of what it means to be in this role does not fit Greg. I'm kind of an outdoorsman and all that stuff. But my images were that, a pastor is kind of an indoorsman. He's an academic. He's detached. He's confined to a church building. And those kinds of things made it so hard for me that I almost couldn't see myself becoming a pastor because I couldn't match that idea of priest or pastor image. Until one day, in my senior year of seminary, God sort of spoke to me while I was praying, and he said, Greg, show me that in the Bible. Show me that a pastor is to be an indoorsman, an academic, detached from the world, living in a Gothic cathedral, a detached and not mixing with the world and being out there for me. Show me that. And I looked. I looked at Jesus. Where was he? He was in the synagogues, teaching and preaching, yes. But where else was he? On mountainsides. He was in the sea on boats, putting out a little from the land to teach the people. He was by a well on a hot day where he sat down where a woman gave him a cold drink and he ministered to her. He was on dusty roads in people's homes. He was in gardens in the starlight, like in the night when he was betrayed. And he often met there with his disciples. Look at Paul in the Bible. Was he this kind of a man who wanted to live in a cave with his books and never come out to read and write? Well, actually, he preached in synagogues as well. In churches, we could say, on Sundays or Saturdays. But he's also in ships at sea in storms. He was in the marketplaces. He was in the downtown. He was uptown. He was all around town. He was in amphitheaters. He was in the country. He met a woman, Lydia, by a river. He was on beaches with the disciples in the book of Acts. He was in people's homes, in the upper rooms. He was all over doing what? Being a priest. He said, I'm in the priestly service of the gospel of God. And what you've got to do today is to get that idea of a priest out of your mind that has been foisted upon you by Hollywood, who always makes him an imbecile, bumbling fool with big glasses and balding head, although some of you fit that description. Just kidding. I'm getting there, okay? It's a rigorous, vigorous individual who lives for God, who loves God, who is out in the world in whatever walk of life that you have, giving up himself to the service of God, to share the word of God with other people. And what's a priest do? We read again in Acts, in Peter's letter, he says, you're to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What kind of sacrifices are you supposed to do? What's your job, according to God? Well, in the Old Testament, you would offer sacrifices of a bull or a goat or a lamb or things like that. But that's not what God's really after. Not even then, and certainly not today. What are the sacrifices he wants from you? Hebrews 13. Through him, through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. We live in a world that doesn't want you to acknowledge the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. You're being priests, no matter where you are, without the clerical and all that. Proclaim that. That's a sacrifice to God, pleasing odor in his nose. He loves that. Psalm 50, he who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I'll show the salvation of God. Pour up to him thanksgivings. This is what it is to be a priest. Prayers for the people. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's being a priest. To be praying, to be lifting up people around you and your family. And that's why we're doing this ministry with prayer. Share in helping others. Hebrews 13, don't neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. It's to lend a hand, it's to be good, it's to be helpful toward others. This pleases the Lord. That's what it is to be a priest, and to speak truth and wisdom from your lips. For Malachi 2 says, God says, the lips of a priest, that's you, should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. You are the messengers of the Lord of hosts. Your lips should be guarding and speaking knowledge and pouring forth wisdom into this world. He doesn't want you to be an academic unless that's what your calling is. He wants it to be you, who he's called you to be a priest and to go out and to mix and to share his word, his light, and his love and service and love to others as you serve and love your king, and to give your whole body as a service to him. For it says, I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, I want to say, how do you become kings? How do you become priests? It's not because you are somebody special. It's not because of some quality of royalty in you. You are a nobody and a nothing. But it's for one reason and one reason only, that you have been positioned or taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into Christ. And when you are in Christ, by connection, by relationship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you're in him, then you're royal. And if you're in him who is the great high priest of the world, then you also are now a priest. It's because we are connected to Jesus that we are royal kings and that we are priests. And our service is to be as his was, remembering our King of Kings. And he came down as a warrior, as we saw last week. You're to be fighters. You're to stand forth against evil. You're to hold up the word of God as a sword and to fight the good fight of the faith. Just like, Narnia, when they're taken off into this imaginary world, they're kings and princes to serve the great king. So are we. And also, you're a priest because of the great high priest. And Jesus did all these things. His lips guarded knowledge. He offered up sacrifices of praise, of thanksgiving. He reached out and helped to others, and he did so especially by laying down his life for us on that cross. For it says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, in other words, into heaven, he entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. He's done everything for you to cleanse you of your sins, to love you, to forgive you, to promise you a kingdom, to give you crowns, to seat you with him on his throne, to give you authority to rule and power and all these things because you're connected with him. And we do it all to the praise and glory of him who is our great King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, who has worked our salvation so that we might be a people of praise to our God and have eternal life as a gift of his grace through faith. So, your identity is clear. You are a royal priest. Believe it. See yourself as such and live lives of thanksgiving and praise for your salvation as fighters, as soldiers, as warriors, as more than conquerors, as kings, as priests, and as servants of God, for you are a royal, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen.